Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. The Bible says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." So what we're going to look at today is the geography of Eden, where it's located, and then we'll also look at some of the history of it. "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow," verse 9, "every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates." Now, of those four rivers, the only one that still has the same name is Euphrates. Now, there's a lot in these verses that we've just looked at here. You've read seven verses, and all we're going to deal with today is just simply the geography and history of Eden and the Garden of Eden, because there's something real significant. But we also have to, in another lesson, deal with the two trees, and what type of trees they are, and their significance throughout the Bible. We also have to deal with this gold that shows up in the land and why that is significant. So we're going to do that in some other lessons. Today, we'll simply look at these rivers. Now, I'm not sure, but I think the reason that the Euphrates is the only one that still has the same name has to do with two things. Historically, a lot of the countries that you read about in the Bible no longer have the name that they had before. They've changed. And even in our modern time, we've seen geographical changes. You used to talk about Czechoslovakia. You don't talk about Czechoslovakia anymore. 10 years ago, there was a division, and now you have the Czech Republic and you have Slovakia, and they're two separate countries. During the Bolshevik Revolution, you had places like St. Petersburg change and become Leningrad. And now back to St. Petersburg, and at one time called Petrograd. So you've had all these kinds of things change over time, and these countries also change, and the rivers' names have changed. That's one of the reasons. I think another reason might be that between this time and now, we had Noah's flood, and some of those things geographically may have changed so that you may not be able to find the river originally where it was before Noah's flood. And then another reason is that of these four rivers, the most significant one for us today is still the River Euphrates, because there are two references to it in the book of Revelation that deal with events taking place during the tribulation. And so God just kind of lets the names of the others sort of go off into obscurity, because the River Euphrates is the one that deals with significant things yet to come prophetically. But nonetheless, because there are four rivers, and God did leave that in the Bible for us, we ought to try to find some way geographically to locate them, and maybe we can learn more about where Eden is and why it's even significant in the first place. I mean, when you think about it, wherever God places man when he makes him, that is the beginning of human history. There is something significant to that, and we ought to know where that is. Now, what I've done on the back of your lesson is I've given you a blank map of the Middle East. There's a blank map back there. And some of you may be real good at geography and might be able to identify some of these countries and some of these locations. Since there's nothing named here, this is like a contest. All right? Now, right here, we'll get sophisticated in time. We'll have PowerPoint presentations and all that stuff, and I can use the little red, you know, pointer light and show you. But for the time being, we'll just have to use paper. Right here, you have an indention, and you have a little island right there. Do you know what that indention is? Who knows what that is? The island is Cyprus, but that's the Mediterranean Sea. That's going to help you start to locate. What you can't see in the Mediterranean Sea on this map is Italy, and if you could have seen the boot, you would have had it nailed. That's the Mediterranean Sea. So to the east of the Mediterranean Sea, this little bitty land mass that's right here, can you see what I'm talking about, the little skinny piece of land? What is that? Huh? It's where Jerusalem is. It's Israel. It's Israel, and you see a pretty good chunk of land out of Israel. That's the West Bank. When they talk about Palestine wants the West Bank, it's not the bank of a river. They want a third of that land that goes into Jerusalem. All right, now let's get into something that's easier to see here. See this great big, what do you call that, trapezoid? See that great big trapezoid right there? Everybody can see. Can everybody see where I'm pointing? Yeah, no. Okay, right there, that big trapezoid. You say, I don't even know what a trapezoid is. Well, I'm not sure it is a trapezoid, but it's not a rectangle. That's what country? It's close. It's close, isn't it? Thank you. That's Egypt. That's Egypt. Now, the land below Egypt, this big old hunk of land right here, what's that? Well, you're going to get a geography lesson today, whether you want it or not. I mean, that's Sudan. Sudan. And this country then to the east of Sudan, below the Red Sea. You see this long, narrow strip in here? That's the Red Sea. That land right there is Ethiopia. That big thing right there, below the Red Sea, that's Ethiopia. That's significant because Ethiopia is mentioned in the lesson today. All right, what about this? See this slanted piece of, this slanted thing right here? That's the Red Sea. If you'll notice, it has rabbit ears up on the top of it. And what it outlines with those rabbit ears is what peninsula? The Sinai Peninsula, where Moses and the Jews wandered in the desert. The big landmass to the east of the Red Sea, the biggest landmass on the map, is what country? Saudi Arabia. That's significant because 10 years ago when we fought in the Gulf War, we set up our bases in Saudi Arabia. Now, oddly enough, none of our soldiers could take Bibles into Saudi Arabia. No missionary work can be done there. All right, then, north of Saudi Arabia, right there, this landmass right here. Everybody see what I'm pointing at? What country is that? It's Iraq. It's Iraq. It's where, who's the head of the country of Iraq? Saddam Hussein. The man that Bush said he was going after, he killed 100,000 of his soldiers, and Saddam Hussein is still alive. He's had as much success on the war against Saddam Hussein as he has on drugs. We still got a drug problem. We still got Saddam Hussein. All right, so that's Iraq. What's the big landmass to the east of Iraq, the huge piece? That's Iran. That's Iran. Back in the Tehran, Iran, remember that? Back in my days in the banking business, when I was still in Houston, we had trouble with the Ali Khamenei. And the big fuss also had to do with the South African Krugerrand and slavery going down there. And somehow or another, those things were related. And they used to surround the bank and have demonstrations about the Ali Khamenei. All right, the space here between Iran and Saudi Arabia, this piece of, see what I'm pointing at right here? Everybody see that right there? That right there. What is that? That's the Persian Gulf. That's where the Gulf War was fought, the Persian Gulf. And on the northwest side of the Persian Gulf, you see a little bitty landmass between Iraq and Saudi Arabia, right there on the northwestern point of the Persian Gulf. What land is that?
Kuwait.
It's Kuwait. It's Kuwait. It's where Saddam Hussein had made the attack in Kuwait. That's where we went in, chased his soldiers back into Iraq. All right, now, just so since we're on this back side of the paper, if you will draw a line, a straight line, from Egypt, the north part of Egypt, right below the Mediterranean Sea, over to the Persian Gulf, where Kuwait is, and encompass Iraq and the piece of land that's on the northwest side of Iraq, this piece right here, that's Syria, and the peace between Syria and the little bitty strip of Israel is Lebanon. If you will encompass Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, and everything from Egypt to the Persian Gulf, that is the land grant that was given to Abraham. That's his land grant. All right. Do something real quick for me, Bo. Go to my office and get the easel and the board and a marker. I'll draw it for you real quick. The only piece of land that I didn't identify for you is the little piece of land that's on the north end of Saudi Arabia. See which one I'm talking about? That's Jordan. Yeah. After World War I, there was something called the Balfour Declaration. How many of you ever heard of the Balfour Declaration? About five of you. That's one of the most significant things for Israel that's ever been done in the last 2,000 years. That Balfour Declaration mandated that Israel would get Jordan and Palestine. In World War II, well, actually by the 1920s, they gave up on the Balfour Declaration, formed Transjordan, and then 1946, Jordan became a country. In 1948, Israel became a country, and Israel was stripped of three-fourths of the land that was granted by the Balfour Declaration. Get this real quick. All righty. Thank you much. Okay, we'll be a little bit more crude. Can everybody see up at this high that I'm drawing? Okay, this will be the Mediterranean Sea. This is the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea. Okay? The Nile River runs right here. The Red Sea comes up like this and basically forms rabbit ears with the Sinai Peninsula and heads off this way. Basically. All right, right here then we have Egypt in this area. Come down like that and then comes over like this. Then we have Sudan, that big piece of land that comes down like this, and Ethiopia right here. And actually the Nile River, I'll redraw it with a different color. And this is Ethiopia here. All right. Then on this side we have Saudi Arabia. That little strip in there? Yeah, I don't know, because on the atlas it shows up as Ethiopia.
Is that just a river separating?
No, I'm not sure about that. At one time there may have actually been something there. But how many of y'all remember about Somalia and all the stuff that took place there? That's just below Ethiopia on this piece that comes out here. This big open area, this stuff here is the Arabian Sea, all of this in here. And that landmass that comes out on the point of the Arabian Sea is Somalia. You see, all the world events that are taking place in this area is what you're seeing that's significant. So the Nile River then basically runs down this way and catches Ethiopia. The River Jordan runs here. The Euphrates River runs here. And the Tigris River runs here and becomes the Persian Gulf right there. This is Kuwait. So do that in black, since I'm trying to do my rivers. This is Kuwait. Both of these are in Iraq. I'm just being real sloppy here. This is Iran over here. This is all Saudi Arabia here. And then Palestine is real narrow. Basically comes like that and down like this. That's Palestine right there. Up here is Lebanon. Remember we had a Beirut and the Lebanon crisis and all that back in, what, the early 70s? All right, Syria is here. This area that goes off like this is Jordan. And then we got Kuwait, like I said, right there. All right, if you take, I didn't line my stuff up, but if you take a line and go from here to here and basically encompass all of this, that's the land grant that was given to Abraham. We're going to look at the verses here in just a minute. The argument now is over this piece of land right here and the West Bank. That's what the fighting in the Middle East is about right now, is trying to get a Palestinian state established in Jerusalem. That's what you're... and this is the grant. You say, how do you know that? Well, let's look at those rivers and see if we can. Yeah.
This.
That is Israel. Yeah. It actually, I drew it not to scale. If you look on your map, it is a very narrow piece of land. It's this little bitty piece of thing right here that's right there off the Mediterranean Sea. I didn't draw it to scale here because. So Israel's just.
From the Mediterranean to the Jordan, is all of that Palestine?
All of that's Israel, what we call modern day Israel, except for. Sorry about this. I wish I had something I'd show you. Do you see in Israel there's a hunk taken out on the Jordan River? Mm-hmm. Can you see that? Who can't see that? Raise your hand. All right. That's the West Bank. That's the West Bank. The big argument about Arafat. Because it goes all the way into Jerusalem and leaves them with the Dome of the Rock, which is that Temple Mount site that everybody's all worried about. All right, now, returning then to this side, so you got a little geography lesson here. You can go home now, and I'll give you a sucker if you can fill in the rest of the countries and seas that are on that deal. You know, seriously, the shame of it for us as Christians is that when we were in elementary school and high school, we didn't like geography. I didn't like it. And all of a sudden now, everything that we read about in the Bible deals with this area, and all of a sudden it comes up in the news and we don't know where we are. And we ought to know. We ought to know, because Syria didn't change its name, and the Euphrates River, which runs right here, didn't change its name, which is where Saddam Hussein is. See? And Egypt didn't change its name, and Ethiopia didn't change its name. All those areas are still, and the Sinai Peninsula is still called the Sinai Peninsula. And Israel is still Israel. There's a lot of significance there. All right, let's see if we can locate these rivers, sort of, back on the front part of your lesson here. Pison is the first river that's mentioned, and it covers the whole land of Havilah. Well, Havilah's not named today. But it turns out on your map that Havilah is the southwestern part of Saudi Arabia. It's this stuff just east of the Red Sea. That's Havilah. And the only river that comes down and dumps into that is the Jordan River, which if we take, we'll go on to the next river and then we'll see. And there are references to it throughout these places that I gave you in the Bible, Genesis 10:7 and Genesis 25:18 and 1 Samuel 15:7. I gave you some references that you could look up. But it's the area of southern Jordan and northwestern Saudi Arabia where the Jordan River comes down today. And it possibly is the Jordan River. Isn't it amazing that God called the Jordan River the Jordan River? Back in the Bible when Moses wrote it, and now the country that adjoins it on the east side is called Jordan today. That's very significant. The next river that was listed there is Gihon, that covers the whole land of Ethiopia. Well, we know where Ethiopia is, and the only river today that runs into Ethiopia is which river? The Nile River, which originates up here. Or actually doesn't originate here, I'm sorry. That's where it branches out into all those branches and goes into the Mediterranean Sea, right there. That's where the fertile part of the Nile River is.
All these would be on our map
would be running. Hiddekel in the east of Assyria. It was what the Bible says, the east of Assyria. Well, this was Assyria. On your maps you can see it's Syria today. That was in the east of Assyria, the first river is the Euphrates River, and the next river is the Hiddekel, which that whole Assyrian kingdom, if you look at any of the old maps, covered the whole area over here. Let me ask you a question. We know that Abraham was from Mesopotamia. What does Mesopotamia mean? Got any idea? What is Meso? mezzanine, the middle floor, mezzo. Mezzo means the middle. Potamia, rivers. So the middle of the rivers or between the rivers, there it is right there, and it leads down to the Persian Gulf where Kuwait is. And then, of course, the Euphrates River, we've still got it done. So you've got the Tigris, the Euphrates, the Jordan, and the Nile rivers that are big, significant rivers in that area today. I don't know if those are the rivers, but the odd thing is they cover the area that was given to Abraham. Look in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15 and look at verse 18. Genesis 15:18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, okay, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. It goes way out past there, what they're arguing about today. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Rephaims, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites, all the countries that Joshua was supposed to destroy when they went into the land of Canaan and then came on out. It's this area. Notice when David gets the throne in 2 Samuel, notice 2 Samuel chapter 8, that David actually conquers out to the Euphrates River. 2 Samuel chapter 8, 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3. First Samuel, Saul is in charge. Second Samuel, David comes to the throne. Second Samuel chapter 8, look at verse 3. David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. So the landmass is huge. Now, you're not going to make any of the Arabs and Muslims that live in that land today very happy, see, with this Bible lesson. And I wouldn't mean it as any offense to them, but they're out of bounds. They don't belong there. That's land that was given to God's people. So what's going to happen is this. Abraham starts right here at a place called Ur of the Chaldees. He comes from Mesopotamia. He starts here. My map is more crooked than your map. Your map is straight. He goes over here to a place called Haran, which is near Damascus, which is up in Syria today. He then comes down into the area which is Jerusalem, and then goes on down into Egypt. It's funny, but his journey takes him through the land that God gives him. Because Haran is north up here, Horan actually. They come up this way, go down in, goes into Egypt, lies about Sarah, and then comes back into this area with Lot, and then they separate. Lot goes down to Sodom and Gomorrah, which is below the Dead Sea in Saudi Arabia today. Lot goes down there, and Abraham stays here, and God says, I'm going to give you all this land. It's the land from where he started and where he ended up. Jesus Christ comes. The men come from the east to announce his birth. He goes down into Egypt to hide from Herod and ends up dying outside of Jerusalem. Same path. After his death, Paul is on the way to Damascus when he gets saved. And then Antioch is in Syria, and that's where the disciples were first called Christians. And from there, an Ethiopian eunuch gets saved and goes into Africa. And the gospel, through the missionary journeys of Paul, heads off into Europe. And basically, when you read history and read about the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages, you're reading European world history. And everything stops until all of a sudden Magellan and Lewis and Clark and Columbus and Cortez and Pizarro and all these European explorers head off into the New World and arrive on the shores of the United States of America. At the same time, God finishes publishing the King James Bible, and the missionaries come from England into the United States of America, and great preachers like John Wesley and George Whitfield and all these guys come into the United States, and huge revivals take place. The gospel goes on into Mexico. I don't have a world map here. It goes into Mexico and goes all through the United States, heads off west, goes back into China, Mongolia, where Tillman is today, where Mueller is today, goes off into India, where Dr. Ruttman just got back from teaching 950 pastors the Bible so that they've got the world's largest revival going on in India today. And they're moving into Vietnam, where Roberts is, Cambodia, where Hass is going, where, help me, starts with an M, is, Moriarty is, goes off into Laos, goes off into Thailand and Burma, again where Tillman's working, and has head back into this area. National attention is focused here. The gospel has come into this area now. But what you're seeing is that everything historically and gospel-wise has circled the globe. Once you get back, the reason that it's so interesting to study this thing about Eden is once you get back to the start, the game is over. There's nothing else to do but for the Lord to come back, set up His throne. And just so you'll know, the garden in Genesis chapter 2 was planted eastward in Eden. Did you notice that when you read it? Look at it. Genesis chapter 2, He planted a garden eastward in Eden. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Right here where it all started. Persian Gulf, Kuwait on your map. Kuwait, where the Tigris and Euphrates rivers come down. Southeastern part of Iraq. Right here, planted a garden eastward in Eden. That's the beginning. And it's now shortly becoming the ending place. You know the last city named to fall is Mystery? The Great. Now, it's incredible to study it because history teaches you that if history repeats itself, once it ends up here, it's finished. Start over again. And the new beginning is the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So while the scientists are taking rocket ships and trying to get to outer space and the moon, we're waiting on the Holy Spirit to take us on past that right on into heaven so God can finish this thing up and set up the throne of Jesus Christ and get this thing going like it should be. So there is something significant about Eden in Genesis chapter 2. Isn't that incredible? Well, in 70 AD, Titus, the Roman conqueror, came in and destroyed that temple. And the Jews took off. And then from 70 AD until 1948, or early 1900s, but particularly 1948, there was no state there for Israel. They didn't have a homeland. And in that period of time, the Arabs, remember about Ishmael? Remember Ishmael, Abraham's other son, before Isaac was born? Said his name is going to be called Ishmael. Why? Because he's going to be a wild man and dwell in the presence of his brethren. Ishmael moved in there, the Arabs, and set up on that dome, or on that temple site, and put that dome there. We don't have time to do it right now, but when you look at the reconstruction of the temple, which you know is going to have to take place in the book of Revelation in order before the Lord comes back because the Jews are going to sacrifice. There are numbers of references in the Old Testament to the thing being set up with tents and cords and pins. It wouldn't take them one night to set up a tabernacle like Moses had in the wilderness and put the articles of the temple that they've already prepared into that tabernacle and begin on that site in the morning. That's how close it is. I've seen some pictures of those things. It's amazing. The candlesticks done, all that stuff. The labor, it's done. Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, after the Lord has already set up His throne, they're still sacrificing animals. And it is a national thing, not an individual salvation thing. It's a national thing. Because it is significant of the covenant that God gave to Moses. Okay, it's not for their eternal salvation like you and I enjoy in Jesus Christ. Those sacrifices are being done because those are national covenants and laws given to the nation of Israel, unlike any other country in the world. And that's why they're doing it. And this is kind of weighty stuff. I don't mean to... But this, if when you turn on your television, that's what you're looking at.
Okay.
They were already sacrificing before the red heifer came around. The red heifer is for the water of purification, not for the sacrifices. Yeah. And for murderers and other things, people that touch dead bodies, it's not for the sacrifices. It's for the water of purification, so not as significant. It is. This is what made national news come alive for me. National news without this is just, you know, one more guy throwing a rock at another guy. So who cares? But when you get this, it made all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Father, we're so thankful for what you've shown us in something that just seems so simple. The Garden of Eden. Who would have imagined by locating it through these rivers, particularly the River Euphrates and Ethiopian Egypt, which are mentioned, that we could come up with an understanding about what you've done with history and the gospel across this globe. Lord, it gives us a great anticipation about your return. And like John said, even so come, Lord Jesus, how excited we are about seeing you face to face. Bless us now in our time of fellowship for Jesus' sake. Amen.